With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here tonight to talk about the final five eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 10. With me to do so, we've brought one Kevin to talk about another Kevin. The real question, though, is, Kevin, are you a bad boy?
I'm a bad boy.
Because Kevin Martin is here with us. Kevin, how are you doing?
Taryn, I am the definition of a bad boy, you know. Kevin is a bad boy as well, and he's spanking his way to potentially being one of the greatest house guests of all time. I'm obsessed with Kevin. Kevin from BB Can is going to talk about Kevin from BB Can 10 because it's just fitting, Taryn. I'm in a great mood. Thanks for having me. You know, the season is very entertaining, and I've been enjoying it immensely, so I'm excited to be here with you and Scally and talk about all of it.
Yes, also with us tonight is Scally. How you doing, Scally?
I'm good, Taryn. I'm excited to be here with two of Jacob's boys, two of his bad boys. even got this ring. Don't propose, but, you know, to commemorate. Get in there now. I'm excited.
I did tell Jacob to just show up if he wanted to. So maybe a chance he shows up, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Yeah. Kevin, are you prepared for the who's the best Kevin discussions that are coming?
There's no debate though in my mind. We're different players, you know. He in a lot of ways is doing what I wanted to do, like socially and strategically. You can't compare it. I won the game in a different way than hopefully. I really do think he's the favorite to win. You know, like how good of a game he's playing. Betty and Josh finally catch on to this at the final five, but Josh is on the block. You know, I was losing my mind. I was screaming at the television. This whole Betty and Josh are friends again, that cry moment. You needed to do that before the nomination ceremony, you guys. You messed up. I feel like they fumbled this final 5 weeks so badly and just like have served it up to Kevin and Helena on a silver platter. I think it's credit to the work Kevin and Helena are doing, but also there's been some like, we have to talk about some of the mind-blowing gameplay this year and some people just making some baffling decisions in that house.
Truly, truly. We also have Melissa in the chat. She wants to know if you know her name now instead of just knowing her as that new girl, which you referred to her on the Big Brother Canada 5 feeds.
Melissa, I'm very familiar and you've stepped up massively. Now we're going down a rabbit hole of RHAP history, but you know, Melissa, I'm just going to leave it at that. You're doing fantastic.
Yes. All right. Well, we are going to talk through tonight's episode, the Thursday night eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 10, as we saw that Jace was evicted here at the final five. And if you have not been caught up with the feeds, you might not know how much of a roller coaster this week has been in terms of just how back and forth the decision was between Jace and Josh. We saw it a little bit here on the show. I think the way the show portrayed it was that they were like, let's keep Josh. And then Jace convinced them to keep Jace. And then Josh kind of convinced them to keep Josh, which is like the simplified version of what happened. The reality is that every single morning I had to come on to the update and say, so they changed their minds again. And it happened probably three times as often as we saw in the episode. But it did finally end with that Josh conversation and the decision to evict Jace. And Jace is now out of the game. No more Jace. She is heading to the jury house. Kevin, how have you felt about Jace's game?
I thought she had a great performance. You know, she went super deep. I think she is a good player. Peely said she was a great player. And I looked at her. I was like, excuse me? The situation that she allowed to go down between Marty and Gino with the gummy bears, that alone, she's a good player. She messed up earlier with that situation and it put herself, she was in a tough spot. If Gino doesn't go home there, that's an extra shield. That's an extra week, perhaps. I think she could have gone at least final four, if not to the final three. So that's a self-inflicted wound there. But she was fun. She was cool. I thought she brought a good energy to the show. Yeah. Showmance is no more. Love is dead, Taryn.
Love is dead.
I have a feeling like the love is going to reignite in that jury house tonight, though.
Yes, well, Scally, we did see Jace go out with a little bit of a bang here. Definitely put in a good performance with Kevin and Helena, making some very good points for why she should stay over Josh. So good that I do, in fact, agree with them. I don't think they made the right call here, but they do make this call, and that is going to be it for Jace here, Scally.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem where I, if you had told me anyone was calling JC Lynn a great player before this week, I really would have questioned what was going on. But just this last little push, I feel like getting Gino out of the game has really like turned on like JC Lynn for just being able to actually play as a solo player. She didn't have him to hide behind. He was always going to go before her. And so with him out of the way, I think it kind of put her into a different gear. And if this had happened earlier, maybe she would have been able to build a couple relationships that actually took her further. So kind of a double-edged sword having Gino stay this long for her.
Yeah, in some ways, for sure. I think that there are definitely players in the history of the game that I have been like, it feels like they have potential, but they're too focused on a showmance. And that's, I think, the thing that, like, that's sort of the mainstream view of showmance, is that, like, you get distracted by the showmance. You're not, your head's not in the game. It puts a big target on your back. But there, it is also a benefit because you have one person locked in. And the fact that it's public can be useful to you as well, because it's intimidating. To target either of you means targeting both of you, and to pull one of you in means pulling both of you in, which means you're more valuable as numbers as well, which is why we see so many people want to work with showmances, to use them. And then, they happen to be young and fit people most of the time, and then they win a bunch of competitions, and then they win the game. So it definitely can be a double-edged sword. I think the true, like epitome of good strategic showmances is a duo that are in a showmance and can also not be distracted by the showmance and also play the game and maintain connections outside of that situation. That's a deadly combination for sure. I don't know that that's exactly what we got this season, but I do think that we saw here in this bit of time without Gino that Jace did have some potential in the game that maybe went a little bit unrealized because of the Gino of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought that she could have done a better job managing, especially the Marty relationship, you know? Like, Marty was just so in love with Gino for almost no reason at all. So think about it this way. It's like JC Lynn is basically dating Gino. This man is in love with your boyfriend, basically. If there was a little more communication there, she could have maybe like helped drive that bus a little bit better. But I felt as soon as Gino, Marty gone in the triple, obviously she had this potential. She just didn't have the people around her anymore to make that final push, and they got her at the final five. Taryn, you said, was it the right decision for Kevin and Helena to vote out JC Lynn? You think that's a bit of an error?
So here's, again, if you're not somebody that has been listening to the feed updates and you've been listening to the recaps, then you might not have gotten all of my thoughts on this, which is basically that at the start of the week, I was like, doesn't really matter. Either way, like one way or another, it can go either way. For Helena, it's probably better to keep Jace because Jace was saying she would take Helena to the final two. For Kevin, it's probably better to take Josh. And then Betty and Josh caught on to Kevin. We'll talk about that. Josh completely turned on Kevin. At that point, it was like Kevin at that point could go either way because Jace would take Helena, Josh would take Helena or Betty. And so it's just a matter of like who's actually better at comps. And I kind of leaned that Josh would be better at comps and that Jace would be a little bit worse at comps and that Josh would be harder to beat and Jace would be a little easier to beat potentially if they did somehow comp their way to the end. And so I leaned in that direction. But then things all shifted all around and Jace started promising them final three and Jace started saying to Kevin, like, I'll take you to the final two. She tells Arissa here tonight that she meant it. I don't doubt that she meant it, but I do think that there's a decent chance she would have changed her mind if presented with the situation, especially with Betty getting in her ear, like, you think you have the best chance against Kevin and Helena, but they're working together and Kevin is the mastermind of the season. You can't beat him. Nobody can beat him, at which point she might change her mind. But either way, I mean, she was more willing to work with Kevin than Josh is at this time. And the real mistake in my eyes is that they really went back and forth about this. I mean, they went back and forth, then back and forth. And they told, as we saw, they told Jace, Kevin said, I'm voting you out. And then she convinced him not to. And so then they told Betty, we're voting Josh out. And then Betty told Josh, they're voting you out. And so Josh then went to them and was like, don't vote me out. And they joked around with Josh, as we saw in the episode. And he convinced them that he was willing to throw the HOH, which...
The fact that these two believe me right now is truly hilarious. I'm lying through my teeth. And you know what? Not only am I going to win the next HOH, but when I do, I'm throwing their asses on the block.
He didn't mean. So in that sense alone, I think the keeping Jace was the better option. Like I said, I also think that Josh is more capable in competitions. I think they're both very good at competitions. Clearly, Jace has won more than Josh at this point. But Josh just has the physical build to win a comp. Like Josh's physical build is a tougher obstacle to overcome for a player like Kevin and Helena than Jace's good at balancing or being good at quizzes, because Josh is also good at quizzes. I just think that Josh is going to be harder to beat. If Josh is in the final three HOH, there's usually at least one part of that that just will go to Josh unless he really screws it up. Mm-hmm. Right? So in that way, I think that probably better to keep Jace. And then finally, the way that this impacts how the jury sees them, in my eyes, the way that Jace leaves says it all. In her speech, she says, great job to Josh and Betty for tricking you two idiots into thinking they're not working together when clearly they are. These two are the strongest duo in the game. I mean, that's shots fired directly at the ghosts, saying, no, the ghosts, you guys are idiots. It's these two that have tricked you. And in this case, they kind of have. And that narrative, it could either die on the vine because Kevin or Helena win the final four veto and they evict one of Josh or Betty and they go to the final three and it doesn't matter. Or it will be hammered home when Josh or Betty wins the final four veto and evicts one of Kevin or Helena, making them look like real idiots. So for all of those reasons, I feel like this was a bit of a mistake. That said, and we'll talk about this as well, but I do think that Kevin's goodbye message kind of pulls some of his coals out of the fire here in regard to that. But we are now in a situation where it's 2v2 heading into this final four, and it's kind of do or die for Kevin and Helena.
Mm-hmm. That was the problem. I think they started the week with like no bad scenarios with Josh being marginally better to go, and ended the week with no good scenarios with Josh being much better to leave for them. But even if he's going, he is going to be so bitter that jury is looking bad. Like all of their good work to stay off of the block in the beginning of the week with Betty is undone by keeping Josh here. Like they don't get the credit of like, wow, you made such a great move in staying off the block, because it looks like they got fooled into keeping Josh and Betty together. And so not so great from Kevin and Helena, unfortunately, with how they played this week.
Yeah, especially with I was surprised that Josh just instantly linked back up with Betty. I was like, Josh, you need to stay this week. I thought he should have been distancing, but eventually it didn't matter. Hypothetically, let's say J.C. Lynn stays, wins that Final Four veto. Do you think she's voting out Kevin and Helena in that spot, or would she have tried to take them to the final three?
I mean, so like she said to Arissa, I think she meant it when she promised them that she would.
But probably would change her mind, yeah.
And I think that she meant it not only because she would have been loyal to her word, because I don't think that would have really mattered to her. But from Jace's perspective, I actually think there's a logic for why it makes sense. Right? Like, if you are Jace and you have the decision to evict either, let's say, Kevin or Betty, yes, Kevin and Helena are a duo. They'll take each other to the final three. They're probably promising you different, but you can't believe them. And maybe Betty promises that she'll take you to the final three, but will she really? Will she really take you over Helena, the person that she has stated to the cameras she would prefer to take to the final two? Probably not. You're probably in a situation where you have to win anyway. And if that's the case, and Kevin has lost both of these competitions yet again, Kevin's the worst competitor here. Betty's probably the best. Maybe at least on par with Helena. I think there's a very good reason for her to decide. Kevin's maybe a bigger jury threat, and maybe he's tight with Helena, but I have to win anyway, and I'm not taking Kevin or Betty anyway, so I might as well just evict Betty here. That said, again, if Betty's in her ear, like, don't let Kevin look like a mastermind. He is the guy. If you do this, you'll look like a fool. Maybe she changes her mind ultimately, but I do think there's a much, much better chance that she evicts Betty over one of them than Josh at this point, for sure.
Do you know what I love as you say all those names? And as you mentioned all those names, I think you mentioned every single one of the five, and you think about the game from their perspective. It really feels like this season, everyone's got a chance at the mm-hmm. like all five have a path to win this thing. Sometimes the end game of Big Brother can be a little boring because maybe there's one or two people that are just not going to win. And then the other players try to take them to the final two with as the GOAT position. But it feels like in this situation, like Betty can win. Helena can definitely win. Kevin can win. And then Josh can obviously win. Like, if it depends on these final few comps, it depends on the jury house. So that's what I wanted to ask you guys. By the way, lit scene tonight in the jury house. Who's Moose and Herman?
Yeah.
Are having a fun time. Are having a fun time in the loser's lounge over there, which I respect. You know, those guys are creating some good TV there. What are they like? The one person I think they're very anti is Josh, basically, based on what happened. That could be Josh, I think, is the most likely to be a losing finalist at this point. But yeah, what do you think about that? Do you think all players have a pretty equal chance right now? Obviously, some more than others.
I do. And obviously, I think it depends what happens here with the veto and who goes into the final three, because there are two duos here. It dramatically changes the odds for each person depending on who gets evicted at Final Four. But I do think they all have a good chance. I think that Helena, especially with her goodbye message, which we'll talk about, might not have the best chance. I feel like Betty could have a chance to beat Helena here in the end. Against Kevin, I actually feel like Kevin's goodbye message could really help put him over the top. I really feel like Jace's narrative coming in, it's going to be the last one they hear until like that final four person comes in at the round table, which I think is important. I feel like they all have a chance. When it comes to Josh, you know, Moose is mad, Summer is mad, Herman is mad. Herman wasn't mad when he left, but I think he's become mad because Moose was mad, if that makes sense. But Gino's not mad at Josh. Marty's not mad at Josh. Jace certainly isn't mad at Josh. They're all very impressed with Josh. Those three alone are three votes potentially for Josh over almost anybody left at this point, potentially. And on top of that, again, I think that the narrative that Jace comes away with, hey, Josh tricked them into keeping him when he was working with Betty again. Because yes, on one hand, you can look at it from the perspective that Kevin said in his goodbye message, which is that Kevin was in charge. He pulled in Josh for safety and he's the one that's been calling the shots. But if you actually look at this final four makeup, it kind of looks like Josh is the one in the best position. Because if you assume that Kevin and Helena are still loyal to Josh at the final four and they're keeping Josh, you can also assume that Betty might now be loyal to Josh and that Josh is guaranteed final three and that Josh is the biggest threat to win that competition. And at that point, Kevin and Helena, I guess, are banking that the jury might be bitter at Josh. But I think what you will often see is They will be bitter until they have to respect it. I mean, that's what happened with Ty last season. Everybody talked to me on the way out the door of the Big Brother Canada 9 house saying, Ty is the last person I'll vote for. He's near the bottom of my list. I'm pissed at Ty. He said, enjoy jury, Beth, not getting my vote. But then, and they're like, I hope I see Ty. Like every week, it's like, I hope Ty was evicted because I really want him to pay for the decision he made to betray me. But then as every week goes by and he's not showing up, you're like, okay, all right. Okay, he's sitting there in the final two now. Like, clearly he made some right decisions. I have to give it up to him at this point, right? I really feel like that could happen here with Josh. Against Kevin, maybe not. But I don't think Josh has any intention of going to the end with Kevin. Against Helena or Betty, I think so. I think he absolutely could win.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Josh is getting to the end, he's probably doing so because he won a couple comps. Yeah. I don't think many people are taking Josh very willingly to the end. And this jury has shown that they and said over and over, they respect comp wins. That's what they want to see. And if he ends up there against someone who hasn't won a bunch or hasn't been able to like show their game really in front, I just feel like you said with Ty, I feel it's just people come around, they say they're bitter, and then that doesn't actually come to pass once they have to vote.
The show had heavy emphasis on comps this episode. And that's partly as the numbers go down, the comps are, I mean, that's part of the story is like, they're just really important, especially I think you can axe the final four HOH. You don't need that one. It's just an extra immunity comp because it's all about that final four veto, but they really are emphasizing it. I guess they need like, there's a little bit of fluff in this episode. I felt as well, you guys, stuff that wasn't, you know, grabbing my pure attention. In terms of the other episodes in Big Brother, there's so many episodes, you're going to get some duds. But the ones that have been good this year, I think, are some maybe of the best episodes of the franchise. Like the triple, the double, the way production was doing the storytelling, the way production was breaking the fourth wall. And like, you hear producer's voice, all that stuff's new. They're taking a bit of that playbook out of Survivor and that stuff that Jeff does. And I think it's working really well. You know, like, I think BB Can 10 is really up there in terms of, and I'm a pessimist when it comes to this stuff. If a season sucks, it sucks. You know, I don't have to name any. There's been some, of course, but BB Can 10 has captured my attention and I'm very invested in these players down the stretch. So a little thumbs up at production for kind of like coming out with a fire season this year.
Yeah. And that's been a topic of conversation for us all season long, is that like the episodes have been edited really well. Not only have they been mostly engaging, and this is somewhat of a first for Big Brother Canada, or at least for the first for a long time, they've been accurate. They haven't been creating things out of whole cloth. Like, they've been pretty much just sticking to what happened, which is very strange, but very welcome. It really does feel like, to me, like, it just feels like they care more this season. It feels like they're actually putting in an effort to like stay on top of what's actually happening, represent it accurately, and make it as entertaining as possible in the process. And I really think it shows. I really do. Even in episodes where it's a little bit slower, it never feels like why am I even watching this? It's not even remotely close to what's actually happening. I'm watching a boring version of something that didn't even happen.
Yeah, live feeders for years have cried foul on the accuracy of the BB Can edit. And that's why I like coming on these shows, because I'm just a pure episode watcher. I don't dive into the live feeds too much. So that's one of the questions I really wanted to ask you guys is like, because what I'm getting on the edited episode is that Kevin in BB Can 10 could be an all-time great. Like, that's what I'm getting every single week. And I wanted to ask you guys, is that accurate? Is this guy as good, basically, that I think he is and other people think he is?
I think so, for the most part. I think this week has shown him to be at perhaps his weakest in terms of, you know, getting caught by Josh and Betty, and making this decision, not realizing that Josh has turned on him. But even in a moment like this, he leaves this amazing goodbye message for Jace.
Oh, yeah.
To potentially keep him okay. Now the thing is, he's really like, he does not seem to be very comp capable. And that at the end of the day, it's very important.
If he took that part of, take that from me and give that to him. Dude, if we can Nick and Phil, I'll just play the comps. He can play the game.
Like, that would be unstoppable.
I would play the comps for Kev. You know, we could combine our forces. We'd be the best of all time.
With Kevin, it's been like, he's been phenomenal at times, and I would say most of the time. I think there are a few weeks where the credit's been a little heavy on the show versus the feeds, but in general, I would say the reason why it's been so accurate is, or a contributing reason, is almost that it's, yes, very flip-floppy, complicated, but it's not the most high level. Sometimes it is a little, you know, people are not making the best decisions for them, and so while it is, you know, again, unpredictable, it's not necessarily so high concept that it makes it difficult to portray on TV.
I think from my perspective, what has made Kevin's game so impressive thus far is that he has been playing from behind basically from the get-go, and he is constantly dealing with a large amount of adversity in terms of just like, you know, this is not your Cody Califfuori coming into the game and just being so naturally gifted at like everything. And he's so good looking that everyone just wants to work with him. And all of these things, like, you know, this is Kevin, and he's a winter baby. And, you know, like that's just who he is. And because of that, he's going to have a harder time, you know, naturally being able to connect with certain people in the same way that, that other people might be able to. And so he's been working from behind all season long. He's constantly running into situations where like that didn't go his way, and he's having to maneuver around that. And you know, this person doesn't trust him, so he needs to, like, Herman is trying to work a very structured game and make everything nice and neat for, like, you know, the people that are cool and running things. And Kevin has to, like, find a way to, like, disrupt that and minimize what Herman is doing and pull in Josh and use him secretly. Kevin is exactly what we want to see in a Big Brother player, because he's very capable and has a lot of work that he needs to do. You know, like, usually when we see very capable players, they're able to get themselves into nice little cushy positions, and they just do little minimal work along the way to make sure everything's nice and calm. Kevin's fighting for his life every day. And that's, I think, a large part of why this season has been entertaining.
I mean, him and Helena have been unbelievable in terms of how they got through the triple. And I think the most impressive thing they've done is not get nominated, either of them, at the final five. That's like unbelievable. Like you've got to be kidding me that Josh wins the triple, puts up Betty. Betty stays. Betty wins the final five HOH, puts up Josh, and they're crying because they're best friends. Like, it doesn't make any sense that Kevin and Helena made it through this so unscathed. Historically, a duo would need a comp win here or there to do it, but I've been very impressed with both of them. Talking strategy with Helena was, like, super cool as well, and she's all fired up for the final portions of the game, you know?
Yes. Tell us about this conversation. How did it go?
It was good. Yeah. I mean, it was, the show showed condensed versions of everything we talked about, but I got to talk with Helena in the Expedia room, a live chat. There were certain rules on me, of course. I couldn't say a name. I couldn't give her information of what was going on in the live feeds or whatever, but just general concepts or whatever. And most of all, I think it came down to, like, Helena, you're actually just kicking ass. Just, like, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, they're so tired. You can see it on the show this year, like, especially with the loved ones visit. I thought that loved ones visit was, I can usually kind of like, oh, come on, the loved ones visit. But actually having them in person there in that phone room, I thought was a really good. And you can see on the contestants, they are emotionally and, like, very, very drained. They're really at the end of this thing. So with Helena, I talked about, like, what's her plan to get to the end. She really does believe Kevin is going to take her to the final two, and that's one of the main things she's banking on. I couldn't say names to her. She said she was really worried about Josh, which is very surprising. Obviously on the live feeds, they flip back and forth all week. She told me, she's like, my heart knows that Josh is not going to take me to the final two. And I wasn't allowed to say anything, but I was like, okay, like, You know, you should probably think about that. I was kind of just gave her one of these, like, okay, like maybe you should give that some thought. Like, that's a big deal. You know, I actually thought she was going to evict Josh this week, but it really seems like what we saw on the show was Kevin really got the Ghost Peppers to go the way that he wanted this week. Is that true that Kevin really swung Helena and made that happen?
Yes. The Ghost Peppers is a different alliance, though. It's just the ghosts.
Just the ghosts. Okay. There's them two. There's multiple alliances with the word ghost in it.
It's the Ghost Peppers was a different season. They're just the ghosts. And then the three of them with Josh is the crash test dummies. But yes, Kevin says this in the episode.
Helena can think what she wants right now, but eventually I'm going to pull her in and I'm going to get her to vote the way that I think is best for me.
And honestly, I didn't know exactly how aware of this Kevin was, because what I observed all week long was Kevin would decide, I think we should keep Josh. And Helena would say, yes, I agree. And then he would go, actually, I think we should keep Jace. And she would go, yep, I agree. And then he would go, actually, no, now I'm thinking we should keep Josh again. And she would go, yep, that's what I think too. And to hear him say it, like, just explicitly out loud, just further cements, like, he knows he is making the decision this week. That has pretty much been how they have operated all season long, which is not to say that Helena has not contributed significantly to their alliance or that she is not doing a significant amount of work. But when it comes to the direction that they head in, yes, Kevin has been the one calling the shots.
Gotcha. So that's accurate. Helena, what is Helena's best chance in a final two? To both get there and beat the person, what's her main option to win the entire game?
So, what I was saying at the beginning of the week was, I think she can go to the end with Kevin. She just needs to start undermining him a little bit in goodbye messages, playing to the jury a little bit better. She had a relationship with Jace where I think she could have pulled off getting Jace's vote over Kevin. I think that, again, like even just making a move, like keeping Jace over Josh and then selling it to Josh, like, hey, look, Jace would take me, Kevin would take you. So I had to start playing for myself and I had to make sure that you left. Josh goes to the jury house with that and they go, oh, look at Helena getting one over on Kevin. Mm-hmm. Now she goes to the end with Kevin. It looks like she really knows what she's doing. She did the complete opposite this week. She told Jace, I would love to keep you, but Kevin doesn't want to, so I can't.
Oh.
And then when they decided to keep her, it was like, Kevin was like, okay, so I think we're keeping you. And Helena was like, are we really? And Jace was like, I thought you wanted to keep me, Helena. And she was like, no, I'm willing to. And then when they decided against it again, it was again, Kevin being like, so we're not keeping you. And she was like, Helena, what the hell? And she was like, sorry, Kevin. And so Jace is now going to the jury with the message, Helena is Kevin's follower. And so can she beat Kevin now? I think that's a much tougher call. So at this point, because she hasn't gone in that direction, can she beat Josh? Maybe. Can she beat Betty? Maybe. I think, like, again, like at the end of the day, it's not like you can only, there's only so many options to sit next to. At some point, you have to do actual good work at jury management. And I don't know that it's there now at this point. I think it's going to be tough. In order to beat Josh, I think she has to really paint it like Josh was their minion the whole time. And that, she's not going to cut Kevin for Josh. She'd much rather go take her chances with Kevin than Josh at this point. So that's kind of a moot point. Could Josh take her over Kevin? Yes. And she can say, yeah, we used Josh. Because one of them evicts Betty and then it's Josh and Kevin and her in the final three and he evicts Kevin and she goes, yes, I got Josh to take me over Kevin. I think that's potentially a winning argument if she can sell that Josh was played by them the whole time. Then against Betty, it's like, maybe if Betty takes her over Kevin, which is possible, she can again say like, hey, I got one over on Kevin at the last minute here. So yeah, I think that's maybe the only way to win at this point. I don't know that she can go to the end with Kevin anymore.
That's the thing. No, it's what I thought was, I had been thinking this week, like, Helena versus Kevin may not be as decided for Kevin as I had thought at points. Yeah. And so Helena was doing good work. Like, Josh and Betty were getting so bitter specifically at Kevin. And had Josh gone this week, I really think he would have gone into that jury house, like, on a tirade against Kevin. And just, Kevin cannot win no matter what. Helena's there, I'm voting for her. And I think that, like, that could have made a big impact in the jury house. And as well, once they decide to keep Josh, like, then... Helena and Kevin even discussed, like, all right, just in case Josh could disclose the crash test dummies to get ahead of him, we need to talk about the ghost and make that clear. And Kevin follows through on that. Helena takes the opportunity to be petty, which I can personally respect and enjoy, but it really limits her chances of winning against Kevin specifically, that make it almost like you have to hope that the jury is bitter against Josh at that point.
Yeah, let's listen to Helena's goodbye message.
Stacey Lynch, you're a strong, independent girl. There's no doubt about that. But you focus more on love than the game. My head was always in the game since the beginning.
Shut up.
I know you don't respect my decision, but you're outside of this house and I'm in here.
I feel like you can roast people in the goodbye messages in like a fun, spirited way. That was not it. That was like, you could, I mean, JC Lynn verbally said, like, oh, shut up. She just didn't even want to hear the second half. That was not good. That was one of the all time bad goodbye messages there.
But it was also so.
That's what I told her to do in the strategy talk. I was like, start roasting people, Helena, as they go to the door. Man, me and Peely were watching the episode. We looked at each other. I was like, Helena's jury management might not just be there, regardless if she. Well, I was very impressed with Helena, obviously, the entire season, specifically in the recent Final Five veto comp. The way she attacked it, I was like, oh, she could be a low key, like, good at these final mental comps, and there's a way she could win these final ones as well. But that goodbye message, I think, lowered her stock dramatically.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always something to note, of course. If Helena wins the next couple, like at least two of the remaining three competitions, that could definitely help sell her. Like if she has, you know, four comp wins to Kevin's one, and stuff like that, like maybe she gets some points there, but definitely not helping with the goodbye message here. And the contrast too between hers and Kevin's. This is Kevin's.
When the sides of the house were formed, I had the idea to make a secret group of three with us and Josh to protect us all. You almost got me to flip on it this week because you are that good at this game.
And I had to cut it off, but she's like, oh, like she has a visibly and audibly positive reaction to what Kevin is saying, and then tells Helena, oh, shut up, Helena.
Yeah, and when JC, like, you can tell in the jury, like, I really think the jury, those guys in the jury of Herman, Moose, Gino, I think they're, and JC Lynn, they are going to be a voting block in that jury, and I don't think JC Lynn's going there with a lot of Helena love after that message, so we'll have to see how the votes work out at the end.
Yeah, and obviously in particular here, Kevin not only much more complimentary of Jace, but he does a couple things that I really like, which is first, obviously taking credit for a lot of what happened this season, essentially. Helena and I have had a final two from the start, making sure that she knows and that now the jury knows that this is not something that came together like halfway through out of convenience or anything, that this has been planned from the beginning. Then saying, I came up with the idea to pull Josh in to protect us, and making it clear that like I was the driver of this situation, which fits perfectly in with what Helena was saying to Jace all week long. And then also helping sort of triage the whole indecisiveness of the week where they went back and forth so many times, basically creating a narrative where he was always keeping Josh. Then one time she almost flipped him because she's that good, but he had to stick with his plan and keep Josh, which helps keep some of the credit away from Josh for staying. I don't know how much of that will stick, but it definitely helps put a band-aid on the situation where it still can look like Kevin's decision and not like Josh tricked them. But at the end of the day, if Josh evicts one of them at Final Four, it will look like Josh tricked them. And there's nothing that they can do about that. So they're still pretty locked into having to win these competitions in my eyes. So that's where we're at.
Amazing breakdown. An amazing breakdown. And there are four left. 25% chance in theory, but I mean, some have more, some have less. And everybody's eyes start to look forward to the final four veto competition, which is the single most overpowered comp in the world. It's so powerful. It's so important.
Yeah. So typically what we see in, to my memory, in the final four veto is some sort of elaborate puzzle-esque competition, right? Last season, I believe it was the one where they were like searching in the room and then they had to go through the wall. And then before that, I think it was like, the weird, like they were going in the tunnel-y things and going up and down the, it was like an ant farm looking.
Oh, the thing. Mario Party game.
Yeah, one. you know, different variations of puzzle-y things. One of which I think, you know, Josh would be very good at, something very physical, jumping up and down and crawling through things. One of which I think Helena has proven to be very good at in terms of just puzzles. The two competitions she's won have both been puzzle-like competitions, although in one of them, Josh claims he threw that competition to her. So Josh, I think, again, has a good shot.
Oh, that was the tooth puzzle one. Josh claims puzzle, to have thrown that one to Helena. Interesting. Yes. To know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, like if there's any, again, any element of physicality, Josh is going to have a little bit of a leg up here. So we will see. First, they're going to have what usually for the final four is a quiz competition where it's usually, I believe, the one where it's like the faces or names or whatever are like slowly coming up
buzzers.
On the screen.
Yes.
You buzz in as soon as you know the answer. You give the answer and you either get a point or maybe you lose a point. If you get it wrong, maybe.
Historically, there's no deduction of a point. So no? it's favored aggressive buzzing. And if you just guess, like, it doesn't matter if you get it wrong. Yeah, I would like to see them put a negative point on that comp, but for wrong answers anyway. Scratched the whole five, the final four HOH. This is just scratch it. It's just so dumb. It's just unnecessary. Like, it's one extra immunity comp. It really, and then they still do the whole nom ceremony. I think the audience has gotten smarter. They understand that the noms of the final four don't matter because it's entirely the veto. You can fast forward this part. I always feel like you can get to the final four. And then in the final two episodes, you can wrap up the story, you know, because all the juice in Big Brother really happens when there's like 16 to 6 people in the house. That's the number where the game thrives. It's a hive of conversation, social strategy. At the end, regardless of how talented these players are, which they are very talented social and strategic players, you can see on the show, there's 3 different episodes today where they were talking about comps. Like, that is really a big part of what comes down to here at the end. So I gave Helena a bunch of advice, and I actually think she could be a favorite going into this final four veto, just in the way that she attacked that veto and the blindfolded and the sand, the way she was aggressively moving around and like her movement. I just feel like her level of pace was really, really, really good in that comp. And I like a couple of the things she did. So I don't know. I think Helena could definitely win this final four veto, but Betty is not playing in the final four HOH comp.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, Kevin or Helena win the veto. What do you think they're going to do with the final four? Are they going to get rid of Betty or Josh at that point?
I think they get rid of Josh. That said, who knows? They went back and forth so much this week. It's certainly possible because here's the thing. Kevin believes he can get Josh to throw the final three HOH. And Josh, obviously,
the fact that these two believe me right now
is not going to do that. but that idea, I think, is tempting to Kevin. And if he had the choice between Josh and Betty and he feels like he can get Josh to throw that final three HOH, there's a chance that he might start getting that indecision bug again and that things could get a little weird. So, I would not necessarily count Josh out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem would be if Josh were to come out hard on this final four HOH and then come up short.
That's true.
Yeah, so if he's proven to have lied here at Final Four, that Final Three promise is not going to hold a lot of weight.
That said, though, here's the thing, though, right? Because part of the weirdness of this week is that Betty and Josh did a very bad job at hiding the fact that they've gotten back together. They're hanging out all the time. You saw in the episode, they're like on the couch together.
Yeah, they're giggling, tickling each other, telling stories and stuff.
And when Kevin and Helena went to Betty to say, we're voting Josh out, you still don't care either way, right? She was like, no, I definitely don't care either way, but definitely don't vote Josh out. That's a terrible idea. I don't think that you should do that. And then like went upstairs and like had a breakdown. She was so upset and they saw right through her. And they were like, her reaction tells us everything we need to know. We are absolutely making the right decision, taking Josh out. And then they forgot about it. So like, yeah. They might just forget that Josh tried in this HOH for all we know at this point. Who knows? I don't know if you can tell how frustrated I am by their waffling. I had almost forgotten about it, but this reminded me. So.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So who knows, but it's definitely there. I definitely think there are some interesting choices depending on who wins HOH and who wins veto. Like for instance, Josh making a decision between say Kevin and Helena. Let's say Josh wins HOH and then he wins the veto and he's going to leave Betty off the block. Him and Betty probably collectively decide who they want to go. They're very upset with Kevin. They have talked a lot about taking Kevin out. But Kevin is probably worse at competitions. And if their goal is to get to the end together, then is that really what they want to do? Not necessarily a given there. For Betty, she's talked about maybe wanting to bring Helena to the end instead of Josh. But I don't know if she's still thinking that, considering that they've really reconciled since then. So there are a lot of interesting decisions.
Yeah, if Betty wins the veto, does she take the shot at Kevin? Probably. That's what it sounds
like. That would be the instinct, I think, would be to take the shot at Kevin. But I wouldn't say with 100% certainty that it would happen, because I do think they would probably think about it at least. Especially if like say Josh wins both of those competitions, but in both of those competitions, Helena's a close second and Kevin is a distant third or fourth. I think at that point they start to go, Helena's better at competitions. Should we just take Kevin to the final three? Which again, like even though it might seem a little bit counterintuitive because Kevin is a bigger jury threat, at the end of the day, if he doesn't win that comp, like, he can't get there. It might actually be the move, but who knows?
Yeah, never say never on BB Can 10. I mean, how many times did someone almost or actually go through with evicting their literal number one ally this season? So you never know.
That's a that happens so much on BB Can 10 where people just like acts like they're on number one just randomly. And like people thought I was shady. If you were my ally, I was always like, you know, in your court, I wasn't going to randomly go after you. What happened with Gino? Do you want to stay focused on this? But can I ask you guys some questions from previous stuff?
Go for it.
The triple, obviously, you guys were losing your mind when Josh puts Betty up as the replacement, right? Like, that was a huge, I would say that was almost one of the craziest moments of the whole season, was that decision.
Yeah, I mean, just bad decision all around for Josh. And honestly, like, again, kudos to Kevin and Helena for their excellent work at convincing Betty that Jace was the enemy, even though Jace had been trying to work with Betty the week prior. In order to get Betty to not see that they were aligned, because this should have 1000% exposed the fact that they have a final three, the three of them.
Betty figuring out Kevin at the final five, like, what do you mean? Have you not seen, like, the chain of safety? They choose each other. Triple eviction. They don't go after each other. What do you mean they're working together? Obviously, like, if you're figuring that out at the final five, like, That was so baffling to me when Betty had this like realization moment of like, I think Kevin and Helena are working together. Obviously, like, look at what's been going on. Of course, they're lock and step. So that I feel like there's a big gap between Kevin and Helena and the other players in you know, how good they are basically at the game. I just that's what I'm getting on the edited episodes, that there's a bit of a masterclass going on here. And Kevin and Helena have just been running the show so effectively.
Yeah, and they'd been working on Josh for so long to make sure that he was willing to make that move as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you can almost understand it from Josh's perspective if you really, like, follow that story all the way through. But the confusing thing for me in this episode is when Josh is in the diary room talking about, like, so Betty and I have finally figured out, we've caught on to what Kevin has been doing this whole time. And I'm just... Josh, are you trying to gaslight me? Like, what are you talking about? Betty and yourself have caught on to, you've been with Kevin for over a month doing these things with him. What do you mean you and Betty are catching on to him? What are you talking about? I mean, say it to Betty, but don't say it to me that you're catching on with Betty to what, you know, you've known, you've been doing it with him. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, yes, Josh is not the mastermind of the season. It's well known, but Josh is so good socially, like a solid 15 out of 10. Bats his eyelashes. People want to keep him in the house for no reason. So, like, yes, Josh is not phenomenal strategically, but he even talked about multiple times this week to almost an annoying point, like, I don't know why people fall in love with me so easily. Like, it is just a gift that I walk around. People get really attached to me and I have no attachment to them. I have no problem voting them out. So, like, Josh is that good. And I think that though it was with work, Josh realized that Kevin did that with him a little bit. And he's not used to getting got. He's used to getting the people. So that is, I think, what inspired so much bitterness towards Kevin here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty wild there. He is. He'd have a great reaction. We saw the family visit in this episode as well. There were some great moments. Josh talked about this afterward, that he pretty much cried for like 4 minutes and 30 seconds and talked for about 30 seconds. Just like immediately he walked into the room and his face just went.
Josh is it's funny because Peely, my wife, cries every time someone cries on the show, so multiple times Josh has just been bawling. I look over, my wife is bawling. I'm like, why is everybody crying? What's going on? Like, what's going on here? Josh has not been slow to tears this season. That has been well documented.
And then there's some great moments here as well. Helena sees her mom, and her mom has this to say to Helena.
I didn't even believe you could get this swap.
You did it. Thanks, Mom.
Helena said it so many times where she's like, I never thought I would get this far. But her mom agrees.
No, where did she get it from? You know,
that was one of the one scene between Kevin and Helena was really cute. And Helena was talking about the bond they had, the brotherly sisterly bond. That was a really very nice. I like that one.
It was, yeah. They've gotten really close, and it is very sweet. Also very sweet. We got to see Jillian. Finally, she brought a fake ring with her because they're not actually married. She is so adorable. She's saying to Kevin, "You're never gonna leave my side ever again." And he says,
"We could maybe do this thing for real."
Yeah, don't propose right now.
No, I'm not.
It's so good.
She was really I really like them as a couple.
She sobered up real quick. Like, oh, don't do this.
It's funny too because it reminded me of when Kevin had the task to convince everyone he was self-evicting, and he talked to Summer. And he was like, Summer, I've got something I need to say. When I saw you, when I came into this game, you just had a great vibe about you. And she was like, okay. And he was like, I'm not about to admit I love you or anything. Like, that's the face you have on right now. Like, something about Kevin just makes it feel like he's gonna do some sort of like overtly romantic gesture, I think.
Josh has been hoping for it all season. So
is that a storyline that hasn't maybe made the show of Josh and Kevin being a bit of a little item?
Josh, like it's a deleted scene.
Light flirtation, maybe.
Yeah. He's a man crush, as you said.
Yes, man crush. it's so cool to see Jillian. It was a really nice moment. We also get to see Betty's boyfriend Ian, which was very cool. It was honestly like nice for them, I'm sure, but I actually like this just to like see these people that they've been talking about for so long. Mm-hmm. Very, very fun stuff. All right. Kevin, you said you had questions. Were there any things throughout the season that you found interesting?
Yeah. I mean, it's just been such an interesting season. One thing that just will never leave my mind is this gummy bear incident. Both Marty being in love with Gino and putting him in danger, Gino just being fine with it. Marty clearly states, hey, you don't have to put a gummy bear in. I would be like, okay, I'm good. All right, you guys can go ahead. Like, he had a very clear option. It's not at the same level. I tweeted, Jed's decision to give up immunity for Beth deep in the game, equally baffling. But like, Gino just turning down a free week basically is an all-time blunder as well. And they really, really, really messed it up there. Sadly, Marty had a crazy run of comp wins, and then as soon as he didn't win a comp, nobody was surprised that he was gone. Like, that wasn't a huge crazy storyline.
Yeah, he did not pull the Kevin Marty.
Yeah, I started cheering for Marty was a tough person to cheer for, but I kind of bought in the last few weeks as I feel like he really fell nicely into his character, and he brought a lot of entertainment this season. I think him being a catalyst for like Betty just hating him and like him constantly being in power, I thought he added a little bit of flair as well. I missed the pre-jury. How was the pre-jury overall?
I mean, it was just as chaotic, really, yeah. Most of it. I mean, in really like the week that that Kevin talked about when he pulled Josh in is really the week where he sort of took charge of the game to some degree, at least, where up until that point it really was like basically the very beginning of the game was Herman and Kyle and Gino, all and Moose, like the Bro Alliance plus the extras. There was an alliance called the Savage Seven. Tanisha and Summer were in it. They had side alliances going on. There was nice little structure happening with the big main alliance, a couple of side alliances here and there. And then Kyle goes on to win this, third HOH. And we were like, all right, here we go. Easy week. He gets rid of Betty, who's on the outs. He locks in all of his different alliances. And then Kyle, he decided that he had, some other plans.
My degree is not in English.
It isn't sport media.
The sport media degree, because all that storyline was constant on Twitter, and I was very amused by all of it.
Yeah.
By the way, for future Big Brother contestants, change your name to Kyle. If you're a Kyle going into 11 or 12, they're going to be like, oh, there's been like five Kyles. They've all sucked, you know? And if any future Kevins want to get on this, like maybe...
Get away from Kevin.
Get away from Kevin.
Go by Kyle instead.
Go by Kyle. Change your name legally. You'll have a way better shot.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Kyle really just goes wild. He doesn't trust Moose, who he knows from outside the game. He turns on Moose. He blows up, like, all of the different alliances that are going on. Herman now is, like, struggling to hold all the pieces together because he really wants this structure to work. But then you have, like, Kevin still in the background, keeping himself off the block, helping sort of, like, encourage these divisions. Jess wins in HOH. That's really when Kevin really has a lot of control over Jess's HOH. And he tries to take a shot at Herman. Herman wins the veto. And at that point, he orchestrates a split vote, between the two. He basically creates sides of the house by orchestrating a split vote. He then runs with that five that votes out Tanisha, himself, Helena, Marty, Gino, and Jace, and that's eventually where we get to the gummy bears. It's been interesting. It's been interesting for sure.
If you asked me to rank the worst HOHs of the season, the only one I would not have in contention would be the first, in which Herman's main target won the veto. But it's probably just because we didn't have feeds, because everything else was so wild this season. Nothing went to plan. Everyone was making bad moves. It was very entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, little nugget I will drop from production. Talking to production, we obviously talked to set up this segment. They're hyped on the season. They think it's one of the all-times that they've produced. They're like, the morale is high. They obviously, they're exhausted. It's hard to make the show, but they're like, the chatters, it's high. They're very pumped with the content they've produced. They have gotten better. Yo, by the way, apparently now on BB Can 10, every time there's a comp result, everybody reads out a specific time. They're just like, oh, this is...
Yeah, exactly, we're getting all the times, yeah.
Yeah, where was that 5 years ago? I needed a little bit of that when my seasons, you know, get maybe a little more credit around these parts. So I like that. I like the breaking the fourth wall again. You know, Arisa's really hitting her stride. I think the show, you know, with Canadian television, you never know when it's going to go. But I'm pumped. I think, man, 6, 7, 8 did not capture my attention, but 10 has done a really good job of just... I'm a huge fan of the show, basically, again this season.
Yeah, it's so great. It's such a relief to just like... And I think the episodes are a huge part of it too, because like 6 was fantastic on the feeds, but not represented at all in the episodes. It's mm-hmm. so fun to just have like a season where, yeah, people can go back and watch the season and probably, like, you know, it won't be the same experience as watching it on the feeds, but they can enjoy it accurately and like it's a good time. Like that's very cool in my eyes. So we have the BB Can Awards are coming up. And there are some awards from past seasons as well. And Kevin, you've been nominated.
Hey, you know, I've been nominated season 3.
Nominated for best competition win or best like winning game.
No,
best,
that wasn't. No, was my it? Shining moment was me making out with everyone in Big Brother. So I'm in there. You know, the best kissing award. You know,
best me and kiss.
Go vote for me and Peely's. Go vote for our kiss. That kiss, I don't know, goosebumps. Maybe it's because we got married now, but the skin, the rain, the passion. Oh, it's one of the all-time great kisses. Maybe not even, maybe in television history, not even reality TV.
There you go. Best kiss, Peely and Kevin versus Adam and Sam.
Tune into the award show to see a murder. We're going to smash Sam. That's what they gave us? No competition.
Threw you a softball there.
There you go. We also have, I mean, there are a few other season 3 moments. Best speech is Mitch versus the trio. which was there's a cancer mm-hmm. that he needs to right. to extract from the house. And then Godfrey versus Zach. I want your blood on these hands. And that really, I mean, that's a clash of titans right there from my for me.
Two amazing speeches. I would lean towards Godfrey a little bit. I think you have person.
To. Yeah, I think you have to because Godfrey's was more successful in yeah. the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, slightly more iconic, but Mitch's was amazing as well.
Mm-hmm. We've got also Maddie versus Chris coming in hot. Maddie versus Chris or Jesse is so woke. What even was Maddie versus Chris? I don't know.
Season 8 references go over my head. I'm like
I'll throw season 8 any bones that I can in terms of like those poor souls that had the season canceled on them. But I mean, you know, everybody remembers Jesse's so woke.
If it's not Chris not recognizing his own mom at the Wendy's right? drive-thru, I have no interest.
Yeah.
So, what's the, we're deep in the rabbit hole here, but is Chris Wiley still transforming brains out there? Is he still?
Must be. That is one like biggest that. Oopsie. Chris's surprise visitor, season 8, which has classic. To be the winner versus Dane versus the archive room, which I think was just like boxes.
Him smash, yeah. Yeah. Dane was on the I was wondering if they were going to bring somebody in from season 8 for the winner messages but no, it's just Dane to Tyshawn just a year and a half skip over. That was a crazy time, man, when COVID was starting and the season was going on and you know people are quitting, people are fighting, people want out, and then you know, and then they just canceled the whole season. Unprecedented that year.
Yeah. Man, you have a lot of connections to some of these best real talk. Cassandra versus Karen, messiest beef, Bruno versus Sarah, or Spicy V versus Tara. You remember Bruno versus Sarah?
My season. Yeah, it was in my right after my departure. That was a spicy one. Yes.
Most tearful goodbye, Ica's final four exit. Versus the Marine departs.
That's right. 7. I remember when Adam Pike got voted out and the violins were swelling. I think they had a harp at one point in the episode. I was like, oh my God, it's a little thick here with the Marine leaving.
It's best blunder, Dimitri's comp flop, which was probably the moment in the car, I would imagine. Yeah.
Great moment.
Versus, I mean, Topaz's fumbled vote. I mean, how do you beat that one though? Let's see. Anything else interesting here? Oh, then we get to this season's, which was best slot meltdown, which either Jace or Josh basically, best winner's winning moment, Jace wins the triple eviction veto or Betty winning the veto. I guess Betty winning the veto. It was just more fun to watch. The triple eviction veto was just hard to follow.
It wasn't the strongest one.
Mm-hmm. Best celebration, Legends of the Doors, or the...
What is behind that red door, by the way? Have they teased that all season? This red door counting down?
A little.
Honestly, there were I was streaming this on Twitch. There were people in my chat that were like, what is that? Like, these are people who like are caught up on everything. So I can only imagine the show only viewers being like,
yeah,
what?
Oh, no. Yeah. Thought she was talking about the big red door she was about to walk out of. But no, there's another red door in this house that's been counting down all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we'll get it eventually. Be something. Maybe the BB Can Awards. There's really for such a great season, I feel like these are not the most these are not the best awards for, and specifically I think that's why they introduced so many past season awards.
But even with the past season ones, when I think of legendary Big Brother moments, I can give you a bit of a list that isn't even mentioned there, you know. So there's some strange choices, but hey, best kiss. I want it.
All right. We'll see if it happens. All right. Is there anything else from the episode that we should bring up?
Is Gino one of the most quiet house guests of all time? He's not a man of many words. You know, even in his exit, like, was he just chill all the time? He didn't really get fired up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, the most fired up he got was like, shouldn't have put that gummy in.
Yeah. When he got fired up, he walked away and sat in the corner.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about the math of the gummy just really quickly?
Oh, yes, please.
People are going nuts on Twitter. They're trying to solve algebra to figure out. No, if you. It's everybody has the same chance. Yes. If you're all drawing an item, there people are confused. Do you know what it is? Because on Survivor, they recently had the
do Python. Or die.
The what's it called? I'm blanking. The Monty Python
Monty theory? Hall problem.
Oh, the Monty Hall problem. Yeah,
yep. They recently had the Monty Hall problem on Survivor, and that does change because the host, you know, lucidly affects the game. In a situation where you're all picking a gummy bear, it doesn't matter who goes first or last. It's all 25%. So I believe it was Kevin on the live feeds that was laughing that he was saying, what was his theory? That Gino had the highest odds of picking the red gummy because he went last.
Yes. And not only does he firmly believe this, but he actually ended up getting into an argument with Marty on his way out the door over it. Because he was like, Marty, I know what you did with the gummy bears. We didn't see this. We've just heard him talk about it. Where he was essentially like confronted Marty about the gummy bear trick. And Marty was like, what? No, it's an equal chance.
And they're like, I can understand just historically when you look through Big Brother Canada, there's these all-time blenders of like Zach putting up JP, Ryan Belante putting up Andrew Miller, Cindy betraying Netta, but like just Jed messing up the veto. And then like, it's like, I can understand getting a little fancy at the start of the game, maybe pre-jury, but like you're deep into the later portion of this game, final six, final seven, like, and these crazy decisions are getting made. Like, you know, I, you know, everybody makes mistakes, of course, myself included, but literally the immunity, the safety in these players' hands that they so willingly give up is just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. It's it is interesting.
Damn gummy bear. Gino's gonna be haunted, man. He's gonna have dreams of a giant red gummy bear.
I can't imagine. Especially because I'm sure that Gino feels like he would have won this game if not for the gummy bear, right? Mm-hmm. I would not look at any kind of gummy worms. Any kind of gummy. Yeah, I'd just be like, I can't. No, get that away from me, please.
It's, you know, on one hand, I do agree. I think Gino has a phenomenal chance if he just doesn't put that gummy in. But on the other, it's like, all right, your 16th mistake of the season caught up to you. We're so lucky we got through the other ones, Gino. Yeah.
I mean, in my eyes, he should be like, man, I never should have evicted Kyle. But you know, well, I don't think we'll ever get there. It's a lot easier to blame the gummy bear. I was hoping we would get some feeds returning by the time we finished up the podcast, but the feeds still appear to be down for now. So we do not have an update on who won this final four HOH. Not that it matters that much. Just in terms of, you know, narrowing down the options for who can be evicted, with the final four veto. We are definitely still looking ahead to what might happen there. Kevin, any other thoughts?
Great episode. Thank you for breaking it down for me. It's always nice to come ask questions, talk about it all. I'm in Toronto for the finale next week. Going to see some old friends, bump shoulders with some old BBCan alumni. You know, excited to see everybody. The community hasn't really gotten together since before COVID. So I think season 7 finale was the last finale where people have actually seen each other, so you know, it's excited to see everybody, get a vibe of what's going on, talk to, you know, people from season 10
and watch the pre-gaming happen.
There's always a little bit of pre-gaming, which is amazing, which is hilarious. Life is good, dude. I'm thriving. I'm so happy and blessed, and then you know, always nice to come do things like this, so thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, Kev. Always a pleasure. You always come in with great questions, and it's always fun to talk through the season.
Hey, these are the legitimate questions I have on my couch when I'm, you know, because obviously I live the experience. When I'm watching the edits, I'm always like, okay, did that really happen, or what happened there? Or, you know, so it's nice to always clear up you live feeders. The live feeders are a bit of a cult, though. Do you get that vibe? Like, there's a little bit of like culty. It's passionate. You know, I never was a true live feeder myself. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, as Betty says, freaks.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
There was context, but yeah, the word came out.
Tim dropped, I remember Tim dropping some controversial remarks about the live feed community back in season 4. Is Tim Dormer back on Australian Big Brother again?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. That's very exciting.
Yeah, well, and I think it's also like it's kind of like a hybrid now of like they kind of vote each other out up until the end, at which point the audience votes. So, I checked one season out. It was okay.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts for me: 100K Canadian. It's getting a little skimpy, BB Can. It's getting a little skimpy. I don't know. Let's talk about Wendy's a few more times. Let's get the brick back. You know, Twisto's twist. We can load up as many sponsors as we want, but you know, inflation, dude. 2022, you're giving out 100K Canadian. It's just a little, it's a little thin. It's a little too thin right now. 150, I think, would do wonders. Didn't the Circle, I've seen the Circle premiere, like these Circle teasers where they've jumped the prize pool from 100K to 150 for the winner. So, yeah, nice 50% increase for season 11. Let's do it.
I'm serious. When Kevin is winning poker tournaments that are like triple the amount of prize money as VB can, you know, we're really starting to get into territory where it's like, how long did it take you to win that 100K in Vivica the Canada?
The experience of a lifetime. I do love how the show is openly being like, I think it's, you know, showing the stress of the contestants a little bit down the stretch here. You can see it in the, you can, I don't know, for some reason it's the editing and like the intensity and the breaking the fourth wall. You can just feel the, how much stress these contestants are under on this season, which is added to the drama. Like, you can tell how sweaty it really is. And it just takes me back to those days of like, oh yeah. I remember being deep in this game and like not being able to sleep and like onslaught and stuff. These poor contestants. I mean, they'll be okay, but they go through a lot of shit as well.
I mean, I think it's a good sign if they're able to sort of like portray it in a way that's bringing you back. It feels like, again, I feel like it's just that effort, the effort being put into like really capturing these moments. So again, kudos to production here this season. Scally, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just excited to see how this final four plays out. As we've talked about, I feel like by this point in the game, you can count like at least two people out in most seasons. So I am very excited to see that we have a final four where it really could go in any direction. Like, anyone could be evicted next. Anyone could be in the final two and anyone could win. So very excited to see how this season ultimately plays out.
All right.
Very fun.
Well, that's what we have for you tonight. Then I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that we ultimately might see tonight here in terms of an HOH result. It probably won't be too much. I'm looking at a tweet that was just posted. Feeds will be down for the night and will be back tomorrow morning. So we will not have the HOH results until at least tomorrow morning. I assume before the update. That's how it's been in the past, but not necessarily guaranteed.
Tweet Hamza. He's got the info, right? Man, would he drop the wrong spoilers on the triple? And then... Oh, people must have been so pissed, especially with what happened. Oh, people were mad.
Oh boy.
I love the Big Brother community, but I also love to see like people riled up, you know, like I like when the storyline goes the way it's supposed to, but also when shit happens, you know, when there's like the favorites get voted out and everybody loses their mind. I enjoy that a little bit as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so there we go. Tomorrow morning, we might have some HOH results for you. That's what happened with the veto, that we were able to find out who, that Helena had won the veto right before the live feed update over on Sunday. But we'll see. We'll see. We might have it. We might not. If we don't, then we'll just tell you we don't, and then we'll move on. Then we'll be back the next morning, on Saturday morning, for what might be one of the last true live feed updates of the season, as the feeds will likely turn off sometime on Saturday or Sunday, depending on when they have their special eviction, which they typically do after the veto is won. And that'll be it for the updates. We'll then go over the final three and their games, or at least the anticipated final three and their games. And that's our schedule is a little bit different this week. The roundtable will take place on Monday after the episode in place of the recap, as we are all heading to New York for the live show of Survivor Know-It-Alls. And then we will have some sort of sparse coverage here up until the finale, where I will be, hosting that one live from a hotel room. We will do our best here as we come to a close on the season. But check it all out as we get there. Check out the Survivor coverage I've got going on. Find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Darren Armstrong, watching these episodes live with you and playing some other games and hanging out and having fun. Kevin, what have you got going on?
I'm trying to take on the poker world, my man. I am head down trying to strive up the poker mountain and having a lot of fun doing it. So follow me. I do poker stuff if you're into that. And times are very fun. You know, also a little travel ahead, going to Texas. You're going to New York? That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time. You know, we did a couple of years there with no traveling at all. So it's kind of nice to explore the world again a little bit. No, life is good, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, and if you haven't heard the sequel to the original Kevin Martin on the Taran Show, I talked to Kevin a few months ago, and we chatted through the new year and what he's been up to. So check that out if you haven't already. Scally, where can people find you?
Anything that I'm doing is on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Specifically, I am about to start talking about the challenges coming back with the Challenge All-Stars 3, soon to be the Challenge other people, but All-Stars 3 is coming back. Dropped a couple preview podcasts over on the Dom and Colin preview on the Dom and Colin podcast feed, so people should check that out.
All right, well, that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see all of you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.